The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Two Chairs No Waiting, episode number 698, The Riders, part two. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you by the folks over at WeaversDepartmentStore.com. Drop by over at Weavers and check out some of the great Mayberry items they have there. You can get miracle salve. That's right. You can cure the mange, all kinds of stuff. Actually, it's hand salve, but it comes in a miracle salve jar. Get over there and check it out. You might want to get that. While you're there, check out the Mayberry tea towel. Folks are loving this thing, so get over and check it out. It's got all kinds of cool Mayberry things on it. And while you're there also, Gomer says, hey, the book is back in stock. So head over to Weaver's Department Store and pick up a copy. Two Chairs No Waiting is also brought to you by donations from listeners like you. And the executive producer of episode number 698 is Mark Copeland. So thank you, Mark, for helping keep the podcast going. And thank you for being here with me as well. Last week, we talked about the writers from the Andy Griffith Show. It was information coming from a book called Inside Mayberry, the Andy Griffith Show Handbook. It's by Dan Harrison and Bill Habib. And there's a chapter in the book that's called The Writers. Well, that's the reason I came up with that title. It took me a while to come up with a title for last week's episode. That's where it came from. So I went out and read part of it to you last week, and folks seemed to really enjoy it because I got a lot of feedback throughout the week from people, saying that they had really enjoyed the stories and wanted me to continue. So that's why we're going to do part two this week. So we'll do that. I might do a little bit of extra if I have an opportunity. And then we'll do some trivia as well. We're just having a good time here in Mayberry, right? So we're going to be hearing from some of the stuff that the cast members may have done on the show, but it definitely what the writers thought when they were writing these episodes. So we'll hear all that kind of good stuff. So let me get some background music going for us. Let's try this one. There we go. There we go. A little background music for a little bit of trivia. I hope you guys are going to really enjoy this. It's always fun to do that. I'm going to show just some pictures. If you're watching the video, you'll be able to watch pictures from the show as well as I'm running through this. So let's pick back up on the writers part two. All right. So this starts off and says, don't be sorry. That rock had a lot of good memories attached to it. That's how it starts. As is the case with any craft, the life of an artist provides the most fertile ground for creative inspiration. This is a quote from Everett Greenbaum that I'm about to read here. These characters were perfect conduit for us, Everett said. For example, in high school, ROTC, I was a member of the Awkward Squad. When we grew up in different time than now, of course, it was a different time than it is now. We remembered the depression when we were writing the stories. You never see anyone lock their doors or sleeping on an ironing board when relatives came over to visit. You don't see that much anymore. He wrote from life, though, not from other television shows. That's what Everett says. One of the many qualities common to Fritzell and Greenbaum's scripts was the great attention they paid to detail. The Lucky Penny, that's from episode 77, The Man in a Hurry, we used to do that when we were kids. We'd put them on the streetcar tracks and smash them. When Gomer confesses that they took the liberty of taking a picture of Goober with the hood up, that was typical of Jim Fritzell. In episode 82, The Class Reunion, shortly after Barney becomes sentimental about his father's rock, you remember that? That was my father's rock. The audience is treated to a story of his legendary romance with Ramona Wiley. You remember, he used to sit on his dad's knee and scratch matches from that rock, on that rock. And then we hear about Ramona Wiley. Greenbaum tells of the roots of that story. This is a quote from him. "There was a girl in my fourth grade class who I had a big crush on. Her name was Jane Clark, and some of the boys knew that. So to play a trick on me, they got a little ivory elephant and put it in a box that they left on my desk with a note that said, 'The tears on my pillow bespeak the pain that is in my heart,' and signed it, Jane. I never forgot that. The tears on my pillow bespeak the pain that is in my heart. I believed it was from her. So I gave her a ring, and she liked it." That's awesome. I did not know that. There was one other girl that haunted Barney's past, Vicky Harms. Remember her? Vicky Harms was in episode number 91, Harvey Bullock's episode, The Rival. She was a girl that Barney had a childhood crush on, to whom he remembered for sucking the syrup from his raspberry snow cone. Remember that? She would bite the bottom on it and suck all this stuff. Harvey Bullock noted, "Vicky Harms is my sister's child from Binghamton." There you go. Vicky Harms is his sister's child. That means it's his niece. Vicky Harms was Harvey Bullock's niece. Guys, that is awesome. All right. In the class reunion, it also included one of the few love scenes involving Andy Taylor. The outdoor scene with Andy and Sharon Despain was the only one in the series that used a filtered lens for Griffith's close-up. That, in Harvey Bullock's opinion, was probably the most romantic scene in the whole run of the series. Jim and Everett Greenbaum wrote that one, and I think I probably wrote the sexiest. What? It says Jim and Ev wrote that one, but I think I probably wrote the sexiest. Oh, the sexiest scene. Bullock recalls that is from episode number 114, Prisoner of Love, and specifically the bedsheet over the cell scene. Oh, so Harvey, the most romantic scenes, he's saying, is the one with Sharon Despain. But the sexiest scene from the Andy Griffith Show, in Harvey's opinion, was the one he wrote from Prisoner of Love, where they hung the bed sheet in front of the jail cell, and Andy and Barney were in the other room. It was lit. Mm-hmm. I remember that one. Mm-hmm. All right. So one of the other details lifted from Greenbaum's life was the name Jack Egbert, the guy who blackballed Barney from the Philomethean Literary Society. This is a quote from Greenbaum. He says, "He was my neighbor in Buffalo when I was a kid." Wow. But a lot of the stuff, the names like Gossage, Blush, and so forth, came from Greenbaum's wife, Dina's life. "They're all relatives and neighbors of her," he said. "She just gave me a long list of all of her friends and relatives, and when we needed a name, I'd use it." That is great. Yeah, so Jack Egbert, that is awesome. Jack Egbert from the Philomethean Society. This was his neighbor in Buffalo when he was a kid. That is so good. All right, so I'm stumbling along with this because I'm enjoying reading it. I hope you guys are enjoying hearing it, if you can understand what I'm saying. So here, let's go on to this. Greenbaum said that Leonard Blush was an idea I got from a friend of mine who, once a week, performed as the masked singer on WOR radio. So that's where he came up with the name, or the idea for Leonard Blush. I just love Leonard Blush. All right. According to Bullock, Harvey Bullock, the idea for episode number 153, Opie's Newspaper, that came from a paper he had when he was a kid called the Keyhole Journal. Harvey said, "We had a shack alongside the garage, and we'd make four or five copies on a gelatin thing. Anyway, it was about Teehee. What girl did that and juvenile tribulations and of what we thought was great gossip. And we sold it for a penny a piece and we thought we were big time. So Harvey, he really did that. That's great. Oh my gosh. One strange similarity occurred in two episodes written by the team of Fritzell and Greenbaum and involved the birth of two babies. In the first episode of the Andy Griffith Show, episode number 29, in the first of these episodes, I should say, in their first episode of the Andy Griffith Show, that was the first episode they wrote, was Quiet Sam. That was episode number 29. A farmer, William Schallert, remember him, exhibited behavior that caught the immediate attention of Deputy Fife. After being called to the farmer's house, Andy saw that Sam was worrying about the coming birth of his first child. The baby, a boy, was delivered by Sheriff Taylor and was named Andy in his honor. The story in Fritzell and Greenbaum's final script for the show, so that was their first one, their final script was episode number 139, The Darlin Baby. And it centered around the Darlin family's search for a husband for Charlene's newborn baby. The baby also was named for Sheriff Taylor, was called Andalina. Not to be outdone, Harvey Bullock named his own firstborn Andy. Bullock joked, "I was looking for work." Oh my gosh. He was sucking up to Andy, so he just named his son Andy. That is awesome. In episode number 117, The Shoplifters, Bill Edelson and Sam Brobrick, Writers Guild award-winning first script together, came from an idea Edelson had as a young navigator stationed in the South Pacific. Edelson said, "I originally wrote it as a sketch. I was in Guam, and I used to get bored, so I used to write these little sketches. I was lying on my back in a Quonset hut, daydreaming, and this funny notion occurred to me. What if a nerdy clerk in a department store volunteered to catch some clever shoplifters by dressing up as a store mannequin? The idea went around and around in my head, and finally I wrote it as a sketch. After that, it just went into a footlocker. 17 years later, Edelson, now teamed with his comedy writers Sam Brobrick, would find themselves in Hollywood, struggling to find work as a television writer. So that's it. That's where it came from. Edelson told how he got his first assignment. He said, "I thought of that old sketch of mine, and I thought it would be good for Barney Fife. So I told Sam, I know where Aaron Rubin parks his car." Rubin, who was producing the Andy Griffith Show at the time, happened to park his car in a small lot across the street from the back entrance to his office. He entered the office through the back door. By chance, Edelson saw Rubin one morning. Of course, Sam, you know, he's from New York, he says. He says, "You're full of it. I don't believe you. So I said, come with me." Oh my gosh. So they just camped outside his door and did that. That is absolutely awesome. All right. So here's what he went on to say. He said, "You're full of it. So just come with me." He said, Edelson said. Sure enough, Rubin pulled into a parking lot that morning, just as Edelson had predicted. We were standing there on the other side of the street and we were scared because Aaron was big man on the lot. So he walks up and I say, "Aaron, can we see you for a couple of minutes? Because I've got an idea for your show. Could you spare us 5 minutes sometime?" He gave us a look that he took his keys out and said, "Come in at 11 tomorrow." And then he went into his office. He said, I went into his office. I pitched the shoplifting idea and his eyes lit up. He bought it on the spot, and he started laying out scenes right away. And we were furiously taking notes. A couple of hours later, we left his office with a job, and that was it. Wow. That is awesome. Man, and how thankful we are Aaron Rubin did that. After handing in the first draft, several days passed before the writing team found out whether or not they would ever work again. Adelson says, we'd gotten no word from Aaron, but then I went to a party one night, and there was Sheldon Leonard, the big man himself. He said, that was a funny script you boys did. He said as he walked by, and we were in. Oh, wow. That's great. To Edelson's surprise, the work had just begun. We got a call from Aaron the next day to come in for a rewrite. We were in his office, and he, too, says to us, that was a funny script. Then he proceeded to give us a whole lot of full changes. God, if this was, he says, if this was what he's like when he gets a, when he likes a script, I thought, I'd hate to see what he does when he doesn't like it. So basically they had to rewrite a whole bunch of the script, even though they thought it was really good. So that's often. The second draft was a success, and Adelson told what happened next. One thing that everyone who has ever worked around the studios knows is that the grapevine is all-powerful. It is strong and it is fast. How everyone gets the word at almost the same time is one of the those mysteries particular to the Hollywood film industry. But overnight, Sam and I became one of the boys. We were guys who could do it. That's so important. The whole business is divided into those who do it and those who can't. Now, part of an elite group, Edelson and Broderick went on to pen many more memorable episodes. One of the shows I really enjoyed working on was episode number 128, Barney's Bloodhound, Edelson said. A guy gets a bloodhound, and the bloodhound falls in love with a crook. That's got to be funny. And the crook then gets the bloodhound to guard Barney. That's irony. I love irony. That was what was great about writing for Barney. He was such a wonderful foil for all this stuff. If he gets a bloodhound to catch a crook, wouldn't you just know that the bloodhound likes the crook more than he likes Barney? But the one I think we got the most notice for was the reunion. That's episode 176, The Return of Barney Fife. That was the one where we brought Thelma Lou back and Barney finds out that she's married. Oh, I hate that episode. Don then went on to win another Emmy for his work in that one. So Don won an Emmy for that one. In episode 135, Barney's Uniform, also written by Edelson and Broderick, that's a favorite one of Harvey Bullock. Harvey says, that's a great script. Bill was always known in the business as a great construction man. He really was terrific at building a story, and that one is a textbook example of story construction. In episode 112, Barney's Sidecar, when Opie leaves the courthouse with his new wood-burning set, Andy bids him adieu by saying, I'll be seeing ya, to which Opie answers, see you Samoa. That was all the rage in high school at the time, explains Greenbaum. I'll be seeing you. And yes, see you more. Those were big in high school. I'll see you some more. After leaving the Andy Griffith Show, Fritzell and Greenbaum went on to write episodes of MASH. They were responsible for many of the milestone episodes of that classic comedy set in the Korean War. One of the scripts they wrote was a well-known episode in which Lieutenant Colonel Henry Blake, played by McLean Stevenson, is killed when his plane is shot down. The title of that episode, I'll be seeing ya, Henry. Commenting on his career, Greenbaum remarked, my whole career was very lucky. I guess that's because I wasn't very ambitious. Right now, I'm sorry I didn't make more money, but What did you need to do? You need a roof over your head, a few cars, two planes. But you can get old planes and old used cars. According to Harvey Bullock, part of the pleasure in working for the Andy Griffith Show was the reception the writers received from the show's powers that be. Sheldon and Aaron treated writers as a favorite nephew. When you came on the lot, they were glad to see you. You'd go to see Aaron, you'd have a cigar, they wouldn't interrupt you, they wouldn't say, "Now what?" Like so many other aspects of the entertainment business, this has changed. Many of the writers would discover that the norm on The Andy Griffith Show was the exception on other series. Bullock said, writing was different then than it is now. Everything now is very upfront. It's like going to a, he says, it's like going to a nude beach. If you ask me, I'd rather go to a beach that there's a lot of good-looking bathing suits. That's much more interesting and leaves it to your imagination. So that's the end of that section. So I hope you guys enjoyed that. That is the writers from The Andy Griffith Show. It comes from the book Inside Mayberry that's only available in the secondary market now, so go and check it out. It's by Dan Harrison and Bill Habib. Several people who listened to last week's episode went out and found it on eBay. So you might be able to do that as well. Weavers carried this back in the day, back in 1994, back when it was published. But since it is not available. So there's other things in here that I think are pretty cool and pretty neat. So maybe we will address some of those at some point in the near future. But there's a lot of really good stuff in here and just interesting, fun things. So, and if nothing else, you got all that information there that we just went over with the writers. So hope you enjoyed it. I know I did. So now let's do a little bit of trivia. Are y'all ready for that? So let's get the trivia music going. There we go. So let's play a little bit of trivia. Question number one. Question number one. Millie moved to Mayberry from Mount Pilot. True or false? Millie moved to Mayberry from Mount Pilot. True or false? Yeah, true or false? The answer is true. That's true. Millie moved to Mayberry from Mount Pilot. That is a true. All right, next question. Number two. What was Opie's favorite kind of pie? What was Opie's favorite kind of pie? You can guess. Myself, I know what I would have liked, but all right. So Opie's favorite kind of pie is, you have to pause if you don't want to hear, apple. It's apple pie. Apple pie. I like apple pie. Strawberry pie. That'd be pretty good. With some ice cream or whipped cream on there. Woo, I like strawberry. All right, let's go on. Number three. Why did Opie intentionally get fired from his job at the grocery store? Why did Opie intentionally get fired from his job at the grocery store? Oh, that's a really good episode. So that's the fun thing about these trivia questions, and some people mentioned it on some of the comments. They bring back memories of all these episodes that we're talking about and just helps you relive it a little bit. So why did Opie intentionally get fired from his job at a grocery store? Well, one part you could answer. It's not what the answer here is, but you could say because he's a man, because that's what Andy told him later. Said so he told him, "You're a man." So the answer is because the other kid had bills to pay. Yeah, he felt bad because the other kid had bills to pay. He was trying to help out his family. Oh, man, what a great episode that is. When Andy had been bragging on him, and then he was disappointed in him, thought he had got fired, and then when Opie told him why, whoo, boy. Oh, kind of starting to tear up thinking about it. That was an absolutely amazing bit of acting and writing. Great, great job. Number four, Aunt B won a trip for two to where? Aunt B won a trip for two to where? Okay. I'll give you some hints on this one if you don't know, but I think you do. Was it to Europe? Was it to Mexico? Was it to Florida? Or was it to Hollywood? Aunt B won a trip for two to, the answer is Mexico. Mexico. Good job, chat room. Folks are getting it right in the chat room. That is for sure. All right, number five. True or false, Howard had a daughter. True or false, Howard had a daughter. This doesn't seem very hard. True or false, Howard had a daughter. This is pretty easy to guess. Either true or false is your answer choice. So the answer is Howard had a daughter. That's false. He did not have a daughter. He did not. Well, okay. Who said, soak it, Sarah? Who said, soak it, Sarah? Who said that? The answer they got on here is not the one I thought it was. So let's see what the chat room says. Who said, soak it, Sarah? Maybe this is a different time than I'm thinking. All right. The answer is, yeah. See, folks in the chat room are saying the same answer I'm saying. I think it's Andy. It says Barney on this card. I don't think that's right. It's Andy, right? Yeah. Post Nerdly back in the back room is saying Andy. But that was Andy because he said, soak it, Sarah. Soak it a lot in salt water. That was what he said, right? I think this is incorrect. All right. So I'm saying Andy. So that's my final answer. All right. So next question. Number seven. Yes. Who was known as the tiller of soil and feller of trees? Who was known as the tiller of soil and feller of trees? I love that one. I want to be known as that. That's a good name. The tiller of soil and feller of trees. Who was known as that? Who was known? To what? That's a great chapter name. Maybe I wonder if that is a chapter. I have to look that up. Who was known as the tiller of soil and feller of trees? The answer is not Paul Bunyan, as some in the chat room are saying. It was Briscoe Darlin. The tiller of soil and feller of trees. I gotta, that's a great quote. I don't remember. I like that one. Number eight. Oh, come on. This is not even worth asking, but I will ask it just so you can get it right. Who had four quiet sons and a daughter? Ha! I agree. If you didn't get this, you got to go watch Andy Griffith's show. Who had four quiet sons and a daughter?
Take back your Andy Griffith fan
club. Miss Weaver says you have to take back your Andy Griffith Show fan club card if you can't get this one right. The answer is, believe it or not, this is a multiple choice question, but I'm not even going to give them to you. Who had four quiet sons and a daughter? That would be Briscoe Darlin. Briscoe Darlin. Mr. Darlin had four sons who never said hardly anything, and Charlene, right? So we got it. All right, so that's number eight. Let's go ahead and do, we got time. Let's do 10 tonight. All right, number nine. Oh, you got to get this one too. I'll be upset. Who made frequent references to Calvin Coolidge? Who made frequent references to Calvin Coolidge? Oh, you gotta get this one right too. It'll hurt me. It's gonna hurt. It's gonna hurt deep. Gonna hurt. It's gonna be deep. Okay, so who made frequent references to Calvin Coolidge? Floyd Larson. You know who said that? Calvin Coolidge said that. That's right. So it was 92. That's right. All right. So it was Calvin Coolidge. Number 10. Here we go. I don't think this is right either. All right, so chat room's going to have to check this one. Who kept the backs of his shoes polished? Who kept the backs of his shoes polished? See, this may be right, but I think it's from a different answer. Who kept the backs of his shoes polished? And the answer is, I'm waiting to see what the chat room starts giving me because I'm, yeah, okay, maybe this is right. Who kept the backs of his shoes polished? And the answer is, yeah, see, that's what I think, Emmett. Emmett's in the chat room saying what I think. The answer on here is Barney, but I think it was Hugo Hopflash, that old German soldier. I think that's who it was that maybe taught that to Barney, that keep the back of your shoes polished. That Barney did it, but I would have said Hugo Hopflash. Yeah. All right, so that's two questions. Where did I do with that other one? Did I put this in here? I got to check the answers on these. All right. So, all right. Those are setting out. All right. That's 10 questions, guys. How did you do? Did you have fun? Yeah, the German. Yeah, the German soldier. That's what I think it is, but we'll see. All right. So, we'll get some real experts. You guys in the chat room I agree with all of you. So, we're going to say that was Hugo, and I'll accept Barney because Barney did it because Hugo Hopflash, you know, he was a heck of a soldier, did it as well. So, all right, guys, that is our trivia for the night, and we are basically done. We're done for the show. Hey, I hope you guys have been having a lot of fun doing this and doing the trivia and hearing about the, you know, the writers from the Indie Griffith Show. And it's so interesting to me to be able to hear the stories from the writers and how they came up with those things. Is that not amazing to find out that, oh, that's a relative. Oh, they live next door to me. Nate Bracey. He was his neighbor. I just think that is so cool as to where those names and where those things came from. So I'm so glad we were able to find that. You can go back and listen to this episode and last week's episode if you didn't hear it and find out even more little inside tidbits like that of where the things that we see and love on the Andy Griffith Show originated. I just think that is an amazing thing to be able to see. So yes, the chat room is confirming that Andy Taylor said, picking up the phone, Sarah, what? Well, just soak it. Yeah, that's right. Just soak it in a lot in warm water. And then goes on to say, listen, Thelma, listen, Sarah, get me Thelma Lou. I know she's Barney's girl. Just get her on the phone. What? Because I don't want to. No, Sarah, no. I wouldn't rather talk to Juanita down at the diner. Just get me down a little. So that's the actual quote. So it was Andy that said, just soak it a lot in hot water. Now, is there a possibility Barney said it at some point too? I don't remember it, but it's possible. So good job. It's therapeutic in our chat room came up with that exact quote. So thank you very much. All right, guys, I am done. I want to thank everybody for being here tonight. We had a great time this past week. Up in Troy, Ohio, we were able to just have a great Mayberry event up there with the bluegrass band from the movie. The Baraka Valley folks were there. We were able to just entertain and have some fun while we were there. And the tribute artist, along with the Baraka Valley folks, it was a great crowd of people there, and we had a great time. So hopefully we'll be able to go back up to Troy next year, and maybe you can join us there. I got to see people that I had not seen since the Mayberry Squad Car Rendezvous that we had in Bradford, Ohio, which is only a few miles from Troy. And there were a few people there, like Stan Oliver and some others. Actually, the sound guy, Mike, he actually did the sound at the Mayberry Squad Car Rendezvous as well. Cause when I started talking to him, he says, you seem familiar. And I was like, yeah, I was there back in those days. So we had a great time and hopefully they'll have us back and we can do some more Mayberry fun up in Ohio. So if you're in that area, what? From Kenneth Junkin, this just in, which part am I reading? In one of the Andy Griffith Show's episodes, Aunt B said Opie's favorite pie was butterscotch pecan pie. And in one episode, it was apple. So if you said butterscotch pecan pie was Opie's favorite, you can get credit for that too. So that's just in from Kenneth Junkin, our trivia expert that does the stuff for Mayberry Days for the Mayberry Days trivia. So there we go. That just came in. It was on, it was hot off of, Mrs. Weaver's cell phone. She's giving it to me. So there you go. So you got a chance. If you said butterscotch pecan pie, that's also Opie's favorite. So there you go. All right, guys. All right. So we will continue to do research on any of these trivia questions that might have got wrong. If you think there was something wrong, make sure you send it to me and we will talk about it on the podcast. So we got one episode before episode number 700. My goodness, I have no idea what we're going to do for episode number 700. Probably just same things we do every week. But wow, 700 is coming up in a week after next. So, wow, the end of this month, the end of August will be our 700th episode. Wow. So thank you all for suffering through all these episodes with me. It's always great to do that. So I would love to hear from you. You can give me a call at 888-684-8415. I'd love to hear from you, especially with the 700th episode coming up. Man, give me a call. You can also email me at floyd@imayberry.com. I would love to hear from you. I hope you enjoy it as much as I do. Randy Turner asked me, was I planning on doing this until I die? I'm not sure. But as long as I'm having fun and you're having fun being here and visiting with me, I don't think I'll be quitting anytime soon. So you guys have a great Mayberry week. Reach out and talk to me if you get a chance. And until next week, I'll be right here on Two Chairs No Waiting. Good night, everybody.